Sinead O'Connor. It seems like just yesterday she was the young, ferocious sensation with the shaved head who made us sit up straight. Now she's gone. One of many legendary performers who left us in 2023. Tina Turner, Harry Belafonte, David Crosby. So we're taking the time to remember musicians who passed. And to help us do that, NPR Arts Desk correspondent Netta Ulaby. Hi, Netta.
Hey, Robin.
And start with Sinead O'Connor, way too young, in her 50s. Nothing compares to you. It feels like it was on the radio somewhere in the world, around the clock in the early 1990s. Just remind us of her impact.
Sure. I mean, I'm a Generation Xer, so I was brought up by Sinead O'Connor. When I was listening to her as a college student in the late 80s and early 90s, there were a lot of incredibly powerful women on the airwaves. There were the Indigo Girls, there was Tracy Chapman, but even in that cohort, she stood out. These were women who challenged traditional femininity, but she had this very particular kind of Irish swagger. Mm. She's very strikingly beautiful. I think you probably remember the Lion and the Cobra album cover where her head is shaved and she's looking downward and her hands are clasped before her heart. But she really radiated a refusal to compromise. Sinead O'Connor was trained as a bel canto singer, but it says so much that she was given her first guitar when she was a runaway teenager by a nun while she was in reform school for shoplifting.
Yeah, she talked about how her mother would beat her and have her repeat, "I am nothing." I mean, lots of abuse. And of course, she also became so well known. It was a shock around the world when she famously ripped up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live. This is 1992. Let's listen to that moment.
"We find it necessary. We know we will win. We have confidence in the victory of good over evil. Fight the real enemy."
And Netta Ulaby, you know, at the time, well, I want you to expand on what happened at the time, but boy, she was ahead of her time in many ways because the huge scandal in the Catholic Church hadn't yet happened. But what was the reaction when she did that?
You know, after she says, "Fight the real enemy," you can hear in the silence the horror of the audience. It is dead silent. Nobody knows how to respond. She was reviled for making that statement. She was mocked. She was shamed. And her career suffered. She never had another big hit. But of course, now we recognize that statement as a ferocious and utterly prescient protest against abuse in a powerful institution. And up until the very end of her life, Sinead O'Connor said over and over she never once regretted making that choice.
Yeah. She opened up in later years about her struggles with bipolar disorder, a suicide attempt.
Yeah. She lived a lot of her life, even before the internet, in a very public way. A lot of it was not consensual, but she was very open about the frailties in her life. When she wanted a boyfriend, she asked her fans if anyone wanted to date her. She asked fans if they had rooms that she could live in. She asked her fans for suggestions for therapists. Mm. She was someone who was seeking throughout her entire life and very much looking for something and taking us along with her.
Wow. Thank you for that reminder. And, you know, speaking of seeking her entire life, we lost another musician this year, also known as a survivor, the queen of rock and roll, Tina Turner, died in May 83. Of course, she was in the Ike and Tina Turner Review with her abusive husband, Ike Turner, divorced him in 1978, launched a solo career in the 1980s. Let's listen to the song that propelled her to solo stardom, "What's Love Got to Do with It," from her 1984 solo album Private Dancer.
What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion?
Netta Ulaby, you know, she inspired greats like Mick Jagger, Beyonce, inspired a Broadway musical. But there are people who say she didn't get her due in her time. She moved, you know, to another continent. Do you think she was underrated when she was alive?
not by her fans. It's a little hard to see, for me anyway, to see Tina Turner as underrated.
Right.
She was one of the most successful performers in popular music in the 1980s and 90s. The album you mentioned, Private Dancer, sold 10 million copies. It was in the top 10 for nearly a year. She was one of the biggest stadium touring acts of her era. I mean, Tina Turner was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She got 8 Grammys. And yet, Robin Young, I think we can say that none of that was enough. Tina Turner will never have gotten as much as she deserved.
Until they rebuild Rushmore.
That's right.
Yeah, what a woman. And, you know, just her physicality was amazing. Also spoke out against domestic abuse, we have to note, just like Sinead O'Connor first wrote about it in her 1986 memoir, I, Tina. So it went beyond music.
It did. When Tina Turner ran away from Ike Turner in 1976, she had less than 50 cents in her pocket. At that point, she had opened for the Rolling Stones. She had scored hit after R&B hit, and she had to work as a hotel maid in order to make ends meet. The way she was able to build herself back up as a solo performer, completely reinvent herself, not just as a musical icon, but as a beacon of survival for women who were inspired by her to leave domestic situations, is it's hard to overstate the importance of her achievement.
Yeah. Well, now let's hear about an artist who his influence is heard in electronic music, hip-hop, film scores. This is the Japanese composer and pianist Ryuichi Sakamoto. Hear his 1983 Riot in Lagos. Talk about Sakamoto.
I have to tell you that when we put together the best of list inside of NPR, the first question that was on everybody's lips was, is Sakamoto on it? Is Sakamoto on it? It's hard not to get excited about him when you're familiar with his work. He was one of the very first musicians to incorporate electronic production into popular songcraft. He helped inspire and he collaborated with David Bowie and Iggy Pop. And it's really hard to imagine electronica or hip hop sounding the way they do today without his 1970s band Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Well, you mentioned the list, and it is so long. I just was looking back. Gordon Lightfoot, Jeff Beck, Astor Gilberto, Burt Bacharach, Fred White of Earth, Wind & Fire, Wayne Shorter, Carla Bley, you know, the jazz pianist. But we have to land on the great Tony Bennett, died in July 96. You know, he did the traditional American jazz standards. I Left My Heart in San Francisco, Rags to Riches, 20 Grammy Awards, Lifetime Achievement Award. We got to talk to him so many times, and it was such an honor. What will you miss the most?
I just want to throw out, he was 96, and so was Harry Belafonte, another performer who, you know, is a titan of music. With Tony Bennett, what I will miss the most is his generosity as a performer. Mm-hmm. He was a Vegas crooner, and he probably could have just ridden that cliche into the sunset, but that was not Tony Bennett. He was an artist. He was not a hack. And he liked to explore and to test the American songbook. So he performed with Ray Charles. He performed with Sheryl Crow, B.B. King, Amy Winehouse, Lady Gaga, mm-hmm. and in my favorite, Katie Lang, in the most courtly of ways. He was a musician who passed along the torch.
Yeah. NPR Arts Desk correspondent Netta Ulubi helping us remember the musicians, the voices that we lost in this past year. It's quite something. Netta, thank you.
Thank you, Robin, so much.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill. It calls to me to be. beware, little cable car.